UTA Radio.
UTA Radio.
Radio UTA.
UTA Radio.
إذاعة UTA.
.com.
In addition to selling a great variety of books, records, and magazines, Half Price Books also sells new records, apparently for the past 6 years or so.
Yeah, we've been selling new vinyl as well. We get some specials. We've got the Bohemian Rhapsody soundtrack of Queen, and Queen's real hot now, of course. So we sell old vinyl albums made by Queen back in the day, and then we've got the soundtrack album. Beatles White Album 50th anniversary, we're going to have new stuff, old stuff, reissues, all kinds of stuff.
So who do you think buys records and why?
I think it is changing. We've sold records since the beginning. In fact, the name of our company, our full name is Half Price Books, Records and Magazines. We just go by Half Price Books now. But records have always been a big thing for us. It's always been part of our mix. And back in the 70s and 80s and through the part of the 90s, records were a huge part of our inventory and a huge part of our sales. Then CDs came in and records kind of waned. But we sold records, a lot of records, all through that period. And a lot of people who hung on during that period were collectors. A lot of them were older people who just... they had turntables, they had record collections, they wanted to add to their collections. What we're seeing now is we still have a lot of collectors, we still have a lot of older people who may own CDs and records, maybe cassettes even too, but there are lots of more and more younger people in our stores buying vinyl. And the people who price most of our records at our stores have commented on how a lot of times they'll go into the store and they'll look and they'll see kind of older generation shopping the CDs and the 20-year-olds are shopping the vinyl. So it's kind of changed. But there's a wide range of people buying it now, and I think they like it for the sound quality. They like it because there's a lot of things you can't find in digital form that you can find in vinyl. And the other thing about it, one thing I like is the covers are cool and you can see the art and the information.
Yes,
makes it more of an object.
Really, really cool. Actually, our music director, Caleb, he came back today with some vinyl records that looked really cool. He had one that was shaped like Texas, and then he had another one that was shaped like a triangle. I was like, this is so cool. And he also has some other stuff that he brought. And it's actually, I've seen a lot of like newer artists, like The Killers, they have some vinyls out. And that was just really cool for me to see that there's still like new music that's being put on like records now, too.
Yeah, a lot of new artists insist that their stuff be put on vinyl. And a lot of older artists, like Neil Young is a great example, always insisted that they, even during the heyday of CDs, he wanted vinyl copies of his music produced. It's just, it sounds better. And it's cool, I have a record shaped like a star by a guy named Kenny Starr.
So. Oh, that is like perfect, wow.
Yeah.
So... I guess you mentioned how like a lot of younger people are also getting into it, and even like our music director, you know, he's super, super into it. How can these younger people or people that are like new to records that have just suddenly found this interest in records, how do they get into it and where do they start? Like, what can Half Price Books offer them?
Well, we pride ourselves on having all kinds of records. So we have not only classic rock, new rock, soul, R&B, blues, jazz, but we have classical, we have folk, we have soundtracks and original cast recordings, spoken word, 12-inch singles from the disco era. And so it's kind of a great, we call it a treasure hunt, but it's a great place to go in with an open mind and just say, I wonder what this is. And you know, people will discover, they'll hear somebody doing a song now, and they'll see that it was a song Nina Simone did back in the 60s, and they'll say, Nina Simone, I need to find out about Nina Simone. And they start buying Nina Simone records, and they get into Nina Simone, and then they see that Nina Simone might have been influenced by Bessie Smith from the 20s, so they buy a collection of Bessie Smith made in the 20s on vinyl, and so it's kind of a a path, you know, yeah, you can explore,
so it's
all,
like,
kinds of music.
Discovering, like, as you're, like, finding these records, you'll find someone, oh, this person was influenced by this person, and I should listen to this, and it's just, like, it's all kind of connected?
It is all connected.
That is really cool. And we were talking about, like, genres and stuff, but what is your favorite genre? Like, what are you listening to?
It's kind of strange right now. I have very eclectic tastes, and my wife makes fun of me for that. But, and so I have jazz, rock, blues, etc., but I've kind of gravitated to two opposite poles. So I got into a 78 RPM records, you know, the old, very old stuff.
Yeah.
I started collecting those and really got into that, blues and jazz and
blues
just
and
all
jazz.
Kinds of 78 RPM records. But I'm also in a big, I just read a book about a tribe called Quest, and I'd been listening to them recently quite a bit. So I've started, I got all the Tribe Called Quest on vinyl, and De La Soul, and some of the early rap from, well, not early, but the early 90s.
Yeah.
Early
that's,
90s rap.
It's a variety there.
Yeah, so I kind of alternate between those two things most of the time, and then jazz in the middle.
What genre do you think sells the best at Half Price?
Hard to say. There are things that are always in demand that we don't ever have enough of, like blues is an example I always come up with, because like 60s reissues and 70s reissues of blues artists are always in demand, and we never have enough supply. So those sell real quickly, but there are other perennial favorites like the Beatles and Frank Zappa, Pink Floyd, James Brown, Aretha Franklin. We always have a supply of those, and there's always a demand for them.
Yeah, I would definitely go for an Aretha Franklin.
Yes, and especially since she died, and since there's a movie out, documentary about her, that piques interest. So, like, the Queen movie has gotten a lot of young people.
The Queen movie has probably got people super, super interested.
They're
that
looking
was
into that.
Phenomenal.
And there's an interesting, you say phenomenal, there's a phenomenon going on now that we don't quite understand. We've always talked about the 20-year rule or 30-year rule Half Price Books, where, like, in the 70s, because of American Graffiti and some other movies about the 50s, there was a big interest in 50s music. And then about a decade ago, a lot of people were buying 80s hairband music and getting back into Prince and a lot of 80s stuff. And now it's kind of odd because it's gone backwards. There's a whole lot of interest now in 70s and late 60s music. And we're the 50th anniversary of Woodstock and other things like that.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of people buying.
That's the stuff like my dad listened to. Like, he always talks about it.
Yeah. Well, we had a class of 7th and 8th graders come in from a school in the area of our main store.
Wow.
And they were studying the 60s. So I gave them a little tour of the store, but then we went in to a room and I'd brought my record player and brought some Santana and some other things that they'd seen in Woodstock. And they were just fascinated, and I let each of them try putting the needle on the record player to see what it was like to actually manually handle a record and be careful with the record and put the needle in the right groove.
No, I think that's actually really, really cool that, you know, that teachers are taking their students into Half Price Books and you're able to, like, show them that, because it's like they're, like, getting in touch with, you know, the music back then. They're, like, able to, like, touch it and, like, feel it, and it's really, like, cool. I really like that someone brought their students there.
Yeah, it makes it tangible. It makes it
an
experience.
Right.
With digital music, you don't ever really get that. I think that's the element that is missing, and these kids loved handling the records, and we have a lot of customers, younger customers, and, you know, people who just haven't had records in a long time who come in just to kind of look at them and hold them and read the liner notes and take the record out and see what the condition is. And it's just a whole different element. It's like books versus reading, you know, something on the internet.
I mean, I still love a good book. Like, just
good
the feeling of just, like, reading it and, like, my mom always gets mad at me for this because I always come with like these huge like piles of like books from the library, and I would just like sit and like read.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's great.
You could be doing something worse.
How did you start, or what was your first record that you collected?
The very first record I owned, and this will date me, I'm an old guy,
That's okay.
was Harry Belafonte live at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, wow.
And it's still one of my favorite records. So that says a lot if you can own a record. That record came out in 1958, I think. And I still have that record. And it's a wonderful record. And then I grew up in the Beatle era, Beatlemania. So I wanted to buy all the Beatle records as soon as they came out. And then when the Doors and all these other, Motown and all those things came out, that was exciting because it was such a big deal when those records came out and you'd run to the record store and buy the records. And it wasn't until later that I got into jazz, and then I got into world music and, African and Hungarian and all kinds of, there's vinyl you can find from anywhere, and it all kind of runs in and out. So it's good to have an open mind about it, but it's wonderful to explore vinyl.
What do you think makes a vinyl like a collectible, or what makes it in demand, or do you think it just varies according to like what people like?
It varies. Part of it is scarcity. An exception to that, which is just kind of strange. Back when I was pricing records at half price books, we got so much Eagles and Fleetwood Mac. I mean, they printed millions of those Hotel California and Fleetwood Mac Rumors. So they were everywhere. And there's still a huge supply of those, but the demand has for some reason gone way up. It's that 20-year rule, except it's 40 years now.
We have a bunch of Fleetwood Mac actually here.
Yeah, well, they're real popular again. And
wow.
So when people find those records in good condition, it puts a premium on those. So we're selling those now for way more than we used to sell them for, because we used to have trouble selling them for anything. And now we can sell them for a lot more than we used to. Of course, what we sell them for is about the price of new vinyl. So I guess it's people are used to paying a certain amount for records, but our average used record price is only $5.
What would you say is like the most expensive like record buy you've had?
Right now there's a record at the main store that's signed by Stevie Ray Vaughan and Dallas Boy. And it is priced, I think, $1,000. And we've had one in the past that I think sold for that much. And we've had a few of there are a couple of Beatles collectible records. There's one called The Butcher Cover. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah.
But where they covered over a cover that was considered too controversial.
Yeah. Scandalous.
And so that's a collectible that comes up every so often. But people will pay hundreds, if not $1,000, to own that record. And I was talking about 78s earlier. We had a blues 78 that sold for, I think, $800.
Oh, wow.
Because of scarcity.
Scarcity. So you think scarcity is probably what affects price the most?
That's one thing. The other thing is kind of the middle of the road versus the fringe. So if you have soft rock, for example, you're generally going to have a big supply of that, and there's not going to be as much demand. And as you get out toward the edges, like punk rock, different varieties that are on kind of more on the fringe, there's going to be more demand for those and less supply. So the price is going to go up. So punk rock, thrash metal kind of stuff, people are always looking for those, and they never can find enough. So the prices stay a little bit higher on those. And then there's one of the record pricers from Half Price named Paul Pennington came up with what he called the Barry versus Barry rule. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a good way to put it, because what he would use this to train people to price records. He would say, if the Barry is Barry Manilow, mm-hmm. it has to be in perfect condition for us to even put it out, because we have so much Barry Manilow. But if the Barry is Chuck Berry, it can be in any condition and we'll put it out, because we never have enough Chuck Berry. Mm. And people will buy even a scratched old Chuck Berry album just to own a Chuck Berry album. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good way to put
Barry versus
supply
Barry.
And demand. Barry versus Barry. Just remember that.
What's the most expensive record that you've bought personally?
You know, I don't buy really expensive records for myself, and I'm a book person too, and I don't buy expensive books usually either. Mm-hmm. I have collections. I have a few jazz albums that are worth some money, but back when I bought them, I didn't pay a whole lot for them, so they've appreciated in value. But I don't generally spend a whole lot myself for records. $20-$25 is usually what I spend.
Well, you know, the people that drop like thousands or like, you know, 800 to like get that collectible, like, why do you think they want it, and what makes it worth spending for?
I think people buy, like, I buy records to listen to them, not so much to own them. But I can see people collecting certain artists or certain genres, and they become completists. In other words, they want everything by that artist or everything they can find in that genre. And especially if it's very hard to find or really unusual. We have had very, very rarely Beatles signed items.
Wow,
and those are worth thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars.
Yes. We have a Beatle collector in the area. One of the top collectors in the country happens to live in the DFW area.
Oh, wow.
And he comes in and he'll look at signed items and authenticate them for us, or not, as the case may be. Because there is such a value. If you can get an authentic signature, it can really add a whole lot to that item, because all of a sudden it's a one-of-a-kind item. You know, it's signed, especially if it's by a whole band and the person likes that band.
What makes it, like, inauthentic? Do you think there are people, like, going around, like, counterfeiting records?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh. Not too long ago, one of our stores bought a signed copy of Thriller, signed by Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow.
And it was so cool and a rarity. So they were going to put it out at a pretty good price, and it came with a letter of authenticity. Oh. Well, it turned out the company who issued the letter of authenticity got busted for forging autographs. This is the company that would take photographs of, like, Eric Clapton of the Cream signing a guitar, and they'd sell that guitar for hundreds or thousands of dollars.
But it wasn't really his signature?
They photoshopped his face onto somebody else signing the guitar.
Wow.
So there are people who do that.
It's
so you
a
have
whole
to be
company. A whole, there are like whole companies out there that are trying to like scam people?
Yes. And then there are individuals who do it.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but you have to always be wary. Yeah. And that's why it's good to buy from reputable people. And, you know, anything we sell that's signed, if somebody later finds out that it's not genuine, we give their money back. But most of the stuff we get is... it's legit, and it's collector's items, and people love to find them.
Well, that is an interesting story. Do you have any cool or, like, interesting stories from your time at Half Price Books that you want to, like, share with us?
If you're talking about vinyl, there's one kind of a funny story. It's a sad story in a way. One of our best vinyl buys we ever had, this has been many years ago, a woman brought in 5 or 6 crates of LPs that were owned by her father, and they were all sealed jazz records from the 50s and 60s, which is like gold. That's like sealed jazz from
sealed,
the 50s
yeah. so
and
she
60s.
Didn't, she didn't even open them, did she?
No. And it turned out her father had been a sales rep for a record company and had just stored all these all these years.
All those years.
And they
years.
Were just copies that he didn't, he never played. They were just wonderful. So
wonderful
we started
condition.
Pricing them and putting them out, and we started getting them back from customers, returned.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out that the shrink wrap all those years had warped a whole bunch of these records.
No, that's
so
terrible.
Yeah.
That's really devastating.
Yes, it was devastating. It was very disappointing.
Do you have any like tips for like storing records or?
It's good to keep them dusted, keep dust off of mm-hmm. them, keep them out of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
We most record in your studio will store records upright and not packed too tightly, but not leaning too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy to take care of them if you and clean them regularly after you play them, and then they'll last forever. Of course, there are, you know, the people who pay hundreds of dollars for that collectible item
mm-hmm.
probably aren't going to play it.
Oh, so they just do it for like the collecting aspect, not really for the listening?
Yeah, I think, well, some people have, you know, multi-$1,000 equipment to play it on, and they may carefully play some of these, but I know people who collect records, vinyl, and they'll keep a copy that's not in great condition that they didn't pay a lot for to play, and they'll store another one away because they know it's going to appreciate in value, and that's why they've collected it. So records in condition is such a crucial factor, and if you buy a record that's in near mint condition and keep it that way and there's a demand for it, the price on that can go up and keep appreciating. Yep.
So I heard Half Price Books also has new and used like turntables. Could you like walk us through what a new buyer would go through in order to get a turntable and like start collecting?
Yeah, it's easy. And the reason we started selling turntables is because so many people would walk into our stores and, you know, records are so easy to spot because they're big and flat and have fancy, colorful covers.
And they're like, oh, wow, what's this?
Yeah, so you walk in. Yeah, you walk into the store and you say, oh, this is cool, and it draws you over and you start looking at records, and then we would hear more and more people saying, gosh, I'd like to get this, but I don't have anything to play it on. So we started stocking turntables, and it was like, okay, well, here's a turntable. You can buy some records and a turntable, and they're inexpensive,
all in
the
one
ones
place.
We sell.
There you go.
So for not too much money, you can get a turntable, buy a stack of records, and there you go. You start
you
your
just
collection.
Start on your way.
And we started stocking other supplies, you know, record plastic sleeves and other supplies that go with records, and now we've started stocking more types of turntables as the interest has increased. So we have not only kind of entry-level turntables, but we have fancier turntables. And next month, we're going to have a Star Wars turntable.
Oh, Star Wars!
Yeah, Crosley Cruiser Star Wars design turntable. So you got to check that
there
out.
There you go. Be on the lookout for that, everyone. Thank you so much, Steve. Steve from Half Price Books. And yeah, continue listening to vinyl and UTARadio.com.
The preceding program is a production of UTARadio.com and the Department of Communication. Thank you for listening.